Accession number 31439, Mr. Tom Latham, Reel 4. Now, we're going through a typical day's in the trenches,
yes.
Probably mostly in the Samichon area, yes. In that winter. So we'll, now, so you washed and shaved.
Yes.
What next?
Well, you've dried your mess tins out because you have your breakfast out of them. Then you go down the hill, down to the cookhouse, which is in the valley at the back of you, and you queue up and you get your porridge, your prunes, and you get your egg and bacon, and you get a lump of bread, and a big mug of tea.
And prunes, I've not heard that before.
Yeah, you used to have prunes down there, yeah. Just.
And what do you think of your breakfast? I mean, was it all right? Or
yes, as I say, anything. So, and everyone was always hungry. You never got enough food. That's if we had, when we first went to the line, you got American sea rations.
We'll go through the British rations first. Right. So we'll do the whole day as we've started it. So that's what you got for breakfast. What would you get for midday, lunch?
Midday, you get potatoes and meat and stuff, or chicken or something like that.
In a stew?
Yes, generally. Yes.
The pictures limited. You have in your album show a pretty awful looking stew.
They had ovens. They had a 40-gallon drum with fire under it that they used to cook roasted chickens in and things like that. But most of it was boiled chicken, most of the time.
And it was a stew?
Or it'd be lumps of chicken boiled, you know, instead of roasted.
And so that would be dinner.
Yeah.
And what about in the evening?
But practically the same.
So
you've got three meals, yes. You've got three cooked meals, which was...
Now tell me about, what do you think of the US sea rations? They're all tinned.
All tinned, yes. And you've got three tins of food. Used to be like corned beef hash, sausage and mash, and beef stew or something like that. Then you got three tins which would have fruit and that in it for your dessert. And you used to get a box of matches, you used to get coffee, you used to get tea, and 20 cigarettes, toilet paper, things like that, you know. But that was it. You never had enough food.
You prefer the British rations or the American rations?
The American rations were nice because the tins, they were solid, you know, so they did used to fill you, except corned beef hash. And that people have got that, and they used to see the tin fly up in the air and land in the barbed wire. You know, no, that was disgusting, that was.
And would you heat the tins yourself?
Yes, you had little burners.
And what were they like? Tommy cookers, I think they called.
Tommy light. Yeah, you had a little stand, like a little candle thing, and you put it underneath and warm.
That was enough to do it?
Yes.
So that was the food. You didn't get what the British compo rations, the British tinned rations then?
No, we never had those. It was all the catering corner.
So after your breakfast?
Well, then it was a routine. If there might be some wine, but it wasn't a lot because it was already done. Most times we used to go back to the Kansas line, which was they're building a second defence line. And we used to go back there.
So you'd leave the lads on sentry in the
There'd
line?
No, everyone would go. A company's got three platoons. Maybe two would go and one would stop there. Right, and you'd go back in lorries. They could soon get you back again, like, you know, if there's any.
But each day they'd go back to the Kansas line?
Yes, I was rebuilding a second defence line, yes.
And were you helping in building that?
Yes, so the engineers would have trenches and make bunkers and... Because that was a mountain, that was with rock, and they used to be blasting all the time for the trenches.
So you were just working parties?
Just working parties.
And what was that like?
It was all right, you know.
Not too exhausting then?
No, we were only young, weren't we?
And if you stayed in the front line, if you were the platoon that stayed behind, what would you do during the day? Or was it nothing? I mean, that, you know.
No, you not a lot you can do, if I can remember. Not a lot you did do. No.
Would you write home? I mean, or get parcels from home?
Yes, our mum used to send us bits and pieces of what she could, and we used to get didn't cost anything postage. Used to put 3 ml, and the postage was quite regular.
And what would you write about? I mean, because you were censored, weren't you? Or were you?
I don't think so. No, I don't think they were. My mum never used to say letters were open, but just. Things that used to happen and weren't very
You didn't
long.
Have to pass them unopened
to the
officer?
No, they were just sealed up.
And would you write about the fighting and the conditions, or would you
just tell Dave, you know, what you had for dinner and what you'd done for the day? It was didn't involve fighting at all. No, I never used
Did you try and avoid worrying your mum?
Well, what I wrote, I don't think that worried her. you know.
And what would they write back to you, and what kind of sort of
about the family, things that have gone on, what they've been doing, just general things?
Well, letters important to you? Either way.
No. They're nice to get, but I never used to, you know, if the post come around and I never had one, it didn't unduly bother me. You know.
And what about the parcels? Was the stuff they sent any use to you, or was it... Because they don't...
Yes, it was mainly sweet chewing gum and sweets, mainly my mum used to, because once again, ration was there, you see, and she still had family to feed.
And what would you talk about in the trenches? I mean, you know... you sat there next to your mate. What did you talk? Did you talk about the war? Did you talk about what did you talk about?
Oh, no, that's a hard one. That is.
Can't remember.
No, that is a hard.
Fair
one.
Enough. So so the day's dragging on a bit. You've not gone back to the Kansas lines. You're in the trenches. So what would happen next?
Well, you might get, I say, picked for a patrol. They tell you after your dinner, like, that you've been on a patrol.
I'll save the patrol because I know you've got a patrol on Christmas Eve that we want to look at. So. If not, we just carry on through the day.
Yes, not a lot could have gone on. Not stuck on top of a hill.
Well, I should have asked, what were the latrines like?
Oh, right. So they were hole dug in the ground, and they used to get a nappy box and cut a hole in it, stick it on top, newspaper was hanging inside. Some of them had a little bit of fence around it, but it was, and you just sat on there, and that was it. You know. There was a shell case. They're just stuck in there, and you see them in all photographs, they just stuck there. Because there's an old story about Winky Fit doing it down someone's chimney. He might have told you that and all, you know, when he had his run, like, you know. But yes, you just done. And when that was filled up, the toilet pit, then they dug another one and just moved the box, you know.
Well, the latrine's pretty unsavoury.
Well, flies and all the rest of it, but there's no way
you could
do that.
That's in the sun. Now, what about the cold conditions? Can we talk about how bad that was? Because you run into, Sammy Chon, you run into a bad winter, don't you?
It was cold and my feet used to be freezing. We used to wear, can I tell you what we wore?
Come on. You get extra clothes, don't you?
We had the combat jackets. Now, we had a long johns, which opened at the front and back. Right. You had fleece trousers, then you had your combat on the top of them, and if you was on stag, you had a parka, which had a big hood, you know. You had gloves, but under the gloves, you had it was a close mesh that went over the back of the hand, it went through two fingers and your thumb, and it went up to your wrist to your elbow, because you kept your wrist warm, you kept your blood warm, because they're the exposed veins. So it was tight there. And then you had your woolly glove on the top.
And did that work? Or were you still cold?
Yeah, my feet used to get cold. When we had the ordinary boots. Then the British got their boots out then, which were the most fantastic boots in the world. They were absolutely marvellous.
What was good about it? Tell us about
what was good about them. They was all moulded into one.
Is this the DM
If
boots,
you say so, I don't know. But they all moulded into one that's... Just like these are now, the shoes was all moulded, a nice tread at the bottom of them, but they had an air cushion inside them, like a matting, so the air could circulate, and they were the best boots in the world. They were absolutely brilliant.
And that kept your feet warm?
That kept your feet warm, yes.
And how cold was it? Because I think people can't... a winter here, it was a lot worse than a winter here, wasn't
it? Your bunker used to have frost inside it. We had sleeping bags... But they weren't unduly brilliant, like, you know. You'd go on stag of a night, and you had to keep your parka. Two of you on stag, one kept his parka up for 10 minutes while one's listening. Then you swap over, and he'd fetch his parka down with the oven, you know, because your ears are exposed, you know. But it was cold, very, very cold. Then, before we got these new boots, the sole of my boot come off. And we're going back to the Kansas line, and I happened to see the CSM, and I pointed out to him, pointed to me boot, and I've got a new pair of boots. But they were Yankee boots. And they come up to me thigh, up to me shin. And
calf, above your calf.
And they were laced, they had a long tongue, they come right at the top, they were laced. So like Wellingtons, but there's a story there.
Now or later?
Do now, if you're the patrol, Christmas patrol.
So, anything else about a daily routine? What about showers? Was there a mobile shower?
No. See, what used to happen, if we were lucky, you used to go back once a fortnight and have a bath. and you change your underclothes.
Was this a mobile bathroom?
No, it was a fixed one. We used to go back for lorry. It could have been B echelon something or A echelon something like that. I'm not quite sure. And we had a bathhouse, and it was a 45-gallon drum cut in half, and there'd be two of them there, and the chap used to boil the water, tip it in, and yeah, they used to come up to your ankles, and you sit in there. Because I had a bath once when I was going to go sick with piles. And I said to the officer, can I have a bath? And he let me have a bath. But then I didn't go sick because I was given R&R leaf.
We'll come to that a bit later. So you're running up to... So you take over. It's November. You're running up towards Christmas. Mm-hmm. Now, can we talk about this patrol? Because you went on a patrol on Christmas Eve, didn't you? Now, tell me... we'll do that patrol in as much detail as possible.
Right, briefly, then. We'd had Christmas dinner. Right, which was standard.
Oh, hang on. Tell us about that first.
Right, so you went down, two platoons at a time, went down edge of Christmas dinner, which was served by the officers, and it was pretty good.
And was that, what day did you have that on?
That was Christmas Day, and the bread was so hard that I used to have a chopper, and I used to chop it, and it was unbelievable. I used to chop it into slices, and we had our Christmas dinner, which was enjoyable, nice. Then after that, because you had sort of Christmas Day, you could go back and relax. Right? Now, we've gone back to the position. And I've been took short. Right? So I'm sitting on the toilet there, and someone shouts out, Latham! So I ignore it, you see. Don't volunteer for nothing. So I'm just sitting there enjoying myself in it. Latham! Nothing. And suddenly it gets nearer. It's by a corporal. Latham! I said, oh, I'm here, corporal. He said, where the bloody hell you been? I've been shouting for you, and I never heard you. He said, we're going on patrol tonight. I thought, my God, Christmas night. So he says, yeah, he says, so I said, right. So anyway, there was myself, Ron Horrocks, and Corporal Wilmot. And we had to go out on a record patrol. So we goes out to the Samichon, and we walked.
Now, hang on, did you have a briefing beforehand?
Oh, yes, the corporal has
a briefing. Now, tell me about the briefing.
Well, the corporal goes there, we just sit there, he absorbs it all. We just had to listen and observe. We had Ron Horrocks was wireless operator, as it says there. Willie was in charge, and I was support. Simple as that.
Now, so at the briefing, the corporal would be briefed, but didn't he brief you?
We'd be sitting there, but he'd take it all in. You're clear what he was saying, but he's the one that's been told. What he had to do and what we had to do, but he's the one that's been told.
Now, what weapons were you carrying three of you?
Willie had a Sten gun, and I think Ron Horrocks had a Sten gun, but I had a rifle.
So nothing else?
Nothing else.
No grenades?
Oh, grenades. Yeah, grenades, yes. So
we've got to do grenade training, actually, but never mind. We'll come back to that.
So we've done this patrol, and...
How would you get out of your lines?
Right, walk down the rear of the hill, and at the bottom there was what they called a jeep head, and then you turned left, and you went through that road. The road ran out into the... We was on one hill... Then a road in between, and A Company on the other hill. Then they walk out to the Samichon Valley, which could have been maybe a mile or three quarters of a mile to the Samichon River.
And then there's a river in the middle, and then the Chinese positions on the other
on
side.
On the other side, they had a part of the valley, then the hills. And you walked out, well, you had to be careful, because when a patrol goes out, they used to lay rice stalks in the road, so that as they'd be up on the bank, and as you walked along, you had a hell of a noise, they knew you were coming, open fire, and that was it. So you had to be careful. And you skirt them, and eventually you got out there.
Now, what formation would you have? There's only three of you.
It's so just behind one another. Indian file.
And who would go first?
The corporal. Then me, then the wireless operator.
So what happened?
Well, we just went out to the Samichon, eventually got there, and we just laid there and observed the far bank and listened. Just like, okay, wait, listen. And nothing happened.
So you just, I mean, what was it like lying out, listening?
Cold. It was very, very cold. And we had to lay there.
Were you actually on the bank?
Yes, on the bank, yes.
And just lay there, nothing else?
No, you had to keep still, just observe the far bank and around us, make sure. And just nothing never happened. So we come back now, it was given a time period, and we come back. And
how long were you out for?
Most of the night. And you never come back the same way. So we had to come back, and as I said, this skirted minefield, and we went through a river, and that's when my boots filled up.
Because what, the long boots?
Wellingtons. Oh, they filled right up, and the noise squelching. And it was, my feet were freezing. And then we got back, and then I had to clear me, you know, dry off and put dry socks on.
So that was that one. Did you go on many patrols?
Yes, one of the fighting patrol we went on.
When was that?
This was in February the 14th.
Hang on, we might just hold that. Was that still in the Sandwich on then?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Tell me about that one then.
Right. This was a fighting patrol, and there could have been a dozen of us. Ron Hoyts was on it. I was on it. Willie Wilmot was on it. A chap called Reg Critcher was on it. He was a corporal that got busted. He was a corporal that was told he could take his section to a show, and it got cancelled, and he sort of said, up yours, and he took them to the show. When he came back, he got busted, right? And he was on his patrol as a brain gunner. He goes out, and he goes over these rice stalks, and all of a sudden, there's a huge bang. They used percussion grenades, which was deafened you. And the first one they threw hit the officer on the head. That was Tom Keane.
And what did that do to him?
So it knocked him all over the place.
He was killed?
No.
Oh, knocked senseless.
Knocked him out, right. Behind him was Reg Critcher with a brain gun. All heaven opened up then, so they started firing. Right? Firing back with some of ours, but me, being so brave, I dived in the ditch. And my rifle went straight in the paddy field, and Corporal Wilmot was the last one, and he was blasting away with his Sten gun. And he see me lying there, and he said, "Get up, you bastard," he said. And I got up, and I said, "Look at me rifle," and it's all stalks sticking out of it. I said, "I can't fire this," and he was firing like mad. So was Reg Critcher with his brain gun. And we held off, and we really had to withdraw, like, you know. And we got back to the edge of the Samichon. Our age, like, you know. And I had to lay down.
Had you gone across the Sandwich?
We never crossed it. We could have been about halfway to the river when we got ambushed. And then we came back, and I had to lay down with a brain gunner to make sure no one followed us in. And Willie done a check, make sure everyone was there. They phoned up for ambulance. Keane was saying all sorts of things. He had a real bash on the head. And Critcher got 3 bullets in his thigh, and he got the MN, Reg Critcher. And that was that patrol. When he goes back up the hill, the Winky Fit now had gone back, and we had CSM. Oh, names for me, but we had a different one.
Vauxhall?
No,
that was C.
He was C Company. No, I can't think of it at the moment. And we've gone up there because we had to be debriefed, and I've gone up there, and I've got my rifle over my shoulder, and as he was standing behind me, I didn't know it, and as I've turned around, my rifle's hit him right aside the face, and he's gone bang. And I said, "Sorry," he says, "All right," he said.
Now tell me about you mentioned Winky Fit, Bert Fit, because we interviewed him, as I've told you. Tell us what you thought of Bert Fit at the time, because was he your company sergeant major in D Company?
Yes, yes.
And then he went off to be quartermaster.
HQ.
Tell me what he was like as company sergeant major, because he is quite a character.
Not a lot. You didn't see him a lot. No, I don't think I can say much about him, really.
Did he not make an impression on you? Because he was quite a well-known sort of caricature or figure.
No, you just didn't see him much. Even the company commanders you didn't see.
Did you know he was well known? Did you know about his second?
Oh, yeah, we'd heard stories about it, and his scar that he got out there out in Burma, like, you know, wherever he was.
Was he popular?
I think so. Well, after, I didn't know at the time, but the stories I've read afterwards, everyone knew him. Yeah, everyone knew Winky Fit and his run.
And what about this story of him urinating down a thing? And there's other stories of him falling into the latrines and things like that. Was he known to have a drink in the night?
Well, apparently he was in charge of run ration, you see.
Were they just stories, or was there some fact in them?
I think there's a bit of fact. There's so many from different people. You know, because I've got them in the Britannia Castle magazine I got when I first joined it, and they come down telling me about it, like, you know.
Were there any other senior NCOs in D Company that you can remember?
Not that made an impression. No, that's, what was it, Sergeant... No, sorry, I can't remember his name.
So you've got another officer. Was it Dennis Smith?
My God. Yeah, Smith.
Was it Dennis Smith? It's just second lieutenant, I thought.
Yeah.
It's pictures of him in your book, anyway. What was he like?
He was good. Yeah.
Tell us about him. What was good about him?
I think he was genuine. He seemed to be more for you. He seemed to talk to you more than what Keane did.
He replaced previous one.
He replaced Tom King, yeah. And, yes, I think so. You know, they didn't really... It didn't really mix with the other ranks as such, you know, they were just messing that. But he used to go on patrol with him, and it seemed they talked to you, but there was still that gap, I think.
Even with him, there was a gap.
There was definitely a gap there, yeah.
Now, so, any other stories about your time on the Sammy Chom?
No.
Most of it was rude. Did you come under fire much in the Sammy Chom area?
No, never got shelled or nothing.
No shelling then?
There was one little story. We woke up one morning, and this hill 169 had a trench down it. During the night, on their forward slope, I dug this trench right from the top to the bottom. Right, so it got reported back, and we had all the observers come up, and they would come up in jeep loads with binoculars and all that, taking pictures of it and looking at it. Then the night time, a Bova gun turned up right between. In the road, right, and it fired, and they could fire 16 shells, traces they were, in one go, and it blasted this. And our A company, our 12 platoon, was out there on patrol, and they could hear the Chinese screaming. They said, they're blasting this trench. Right? And we still didn't get no feedback from the Chinese. The next night, two turned up, and they, 12 or 16 in the air at the time, and they blasted it, but as soon as they'd finished, they shot back, but we still didn't get a response. Still never got shelled, and we never got shelled at Sammy Chom. We got bombed by the Yanks.
That's about that.
Well, it's just it's just come over, and we got bombed. Lucky enough, it was on the forward slope and blew all the barbed wire up. That's why me and Corporal Wilmot sitting in the dugout in the bomb crater there, ready to rewire. But it was as quick as that, you know.
Was it definitely an American plane, or was it just rumoured to be American?
Well, we didn't see any aeroplanes. Nothing happened in the Sammy Chom. It was just patrols, nothing at all.
What about anything else happened on any of the other... Did you go on more patrols than that? Because you got the Christmas one.
Yes, you went out, but nothing happened. One, we had a new company commander took over, and his name was Eberardi, Captain Eberardi.
And what was he like?
He was a macho man, he was. He was a 120% soldier. And he used to walk out on patrols, and he'd carry a log. Big, you know, about 4 foot and about 3 inches thick. This branch, this log. Just walk along with it. And one night, he had us doing a V formation across the Sammy Chom Valley. And the noise was deafening, because it's all your dead rice stalks. And I don't know what that was in aid of, but he had us marching out there.
Did they open fire or...?
Nothing, no. And here's the one that had us running back a section at a time from our position to HQ before breakfast. And
why?
He timed you. And you had to put your small pack on your back.
Just for fitness?
Fitness. Yeah. And you had to run section at a time, HQ and back again. And he'd done it, so he knew what time was. Yeah, he was hard enough, he was.
Were he popular, or was
yes,
he?
I think he was, yes, yes.
So you didn't mind the extra fizz and things?
No, you just had to do it. But not a lot happened at Sammy Chom.
So how long were you there for? To March, isn't it? Or
possibly. Then we went to 238, back on 238 again.
And what had what was the situation when you arrived back on there? Because that's where you'd been originally.
Yeah, well, when we took over, there was an advance party of... our section, Willie Wilmot, our officer, Willie Wilmot, and our section was an advance party. And we took over from the Americans. And that's the first time we've been in contact with the Americans. Been in contact with the Australians, been in contact with the PP, CLI, Princess Patricia's Light Infantry. But never really Yanks as such, and it was their position. And the grub they had, because we were with them for about two nights. Oh, it's unbelievable. all different boxes of cereals for breakfast, you know, not just boarding what you see now with them little boxes, and you used to have what you want. And it was...
So they did have enough food?
They had enough food, yeah. And we was with about two nights with them before they finally got away and our lot come and took over. But their regiments and battalions were a lot bigger now, so a lot of the trenches and bungs had to be blown up that we couldn't occupy. We just had to have our position higher up the hill, like, you know. They used to go across the valleys and all, but we couldn't. We didn't have the facilities.
So how did the trenches change, or were they just the same?
All exactly the same. There's more trenches on there, more communication trenches, more deeper, because they dug them, and it was a nice position.
And what were you doing there?
Right, mainly patrols. There were lots of patrols there. It's coming now to the action part of it. You know, we had the Welsh on our left was on. They were on 355. 217 and all that was now Chinese because no one had retook them, and it was purely all patrol. We used to go back for concerts.
I don't want to get onto the because we're going to finish soon. Tell me about the concerts. Where would they be at?
They would be well back. They'd be well back at Ayrshire, way back, like, you know.
And what were they like? Who would perform? Were they concert parties?
Yes.
Or were they
No, stars. Enter. I couldn't, you know, name any, but they was, you know, I went back and see one. And they were enjoyable. It lasted about an hour, singing and all the rest of it, like, you know, bands.
Was it a variety?
Yes, variety. Yeah,
did you appreciate the stars coming out for you?
Oh, yes, it had to be.
So it wasn't a matter of... I mean, you did enjoy them.
Yes, it just made a change, like, you know, various things.
Did you get any other leave? Because there's a place called Peacock Reservoir.
Oh.
Peacock.
That was reserved. That was when we come out of Samichon, we went back there before we went to 238.
What was it like at Peacock Reservoir?
Peacock. Well, it's more relaxed, obviously, because you had the front line in front of you that took a little bashing, but it's still shellable. But nothing happened while I was there. And you've just done a night snag with two people walking about on top of the hill, you know, in turn. So it's...
Did you do any exercises there? Because sometimes...
You've done schemes, which was like you do back in England or in Germany, you know, but they didn't come to much. It was, you know, it wasn't...